In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents...
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. It is Monday after a weekend. Millie, it sounds like neither of us did our vocal exercises this morning.
No, I probably should do vocal exercises. I'm constantly losing my voice.
You know, the one I do that helps a lot, I do it right before the podcast or sometimes during the podcast. I'll mute myself. You just make a sound like you're blowing into a straw and it makes you just like sound better. And I think it makes you talk like in a more healthy way.
Are you, as a female podcast host, telling me about vocal fry?
No, it is for the health of your vocal cords, because we don't want to have to get the Adele surgery, Billy.
I just want everyone to know how misogyny shows up internally in the Betches.
Millie will be filing a report that I criticized.
I'm muting it. I'm going to try it right now.
Okay, sounds good. But, you know, there's really there's really only one question that we need to ask to begin this show. And that is, I'll start with you, Elise. Where were you when Joe Biden personally shot down a Chinese spy balloon? I think that's what happened.
Yes, he did one of those darts that you go like and just shot it right down. I was getting ready for my friend to come over. We had a friend over. We had a little dog play date.
The best.
Between me and an old pal. And the balloon was shot down on his way over. So then when he arrived, we did discuss the balloon.
What about you, Millie? How did you experience this event in American history?
I just saw all these people talking about a balloon and I'm like, oh Lord, not the balloon boy again. I didn't know it was a real terror attack or whatever.
Yeah.
Until much, much later. I thought it was literally like a bad meme that was circulating. I'm like, oh my God, people, let it go.
Yes.
The boy in the balloon.
Let the balloon go. Let it go. I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I also, you know, I feel like the stuck boat in the Suez Canal walked so that Chinese spy balloon could run.
This became
an instant meme in a way that it sort of – it's like we all are in a particularly we all have seasonal depression. Mm-hmm. No one was really going outside too much over the weekend. It's cold. And sometimes these things just hit at a time where we all desperately need to like irrationally obsess over a whimsical inanimate object. And that's what happened.
Yes. I became aware of the balloon on Friday because of the Betches Up newsletter, which everyone should sign up for if they want
Obviously.
Daily news in the wake of our move to 2 times a week. But what I think is funny and what we were discussing a little bit off pod is like the balloon is actually serious. Like, it's not good that China sent this surveillance balloon. It is an international incident. Blinken, the Secretary of State, was supposed to go to China this week. He's not going anymore because of the balloon.
But trip canceled.
Trip canceled. But the fact that it is a balloon just made the story automatically funny. Just the word balloon. If it had been like Chinese spy craft found over the U.S., I don't think the story would have been as memeable or funny or Saturday
Absolutely.
Night Liveable as it was. But the fact that it is a balloon, like balloon is just a funny word. Balloon just conjures up funny imagery. And so I do think it kind of overshadowed the potential seriousness of the balloon. There is also another balloon that is over like Central America, Caribbean area. I know Canada's mad about the balloon.
The balloons are not new.
Good.
These balloons have been around. Yes, as you were talking, it sounds like they have a bit of, you know, a flight of fancy, if you will. And that's why they've resonated so much.
I'm kidding. No, that was a good one.
I waited to say that for like 20 seconds. But no, you also said that you saw, I don't know. I see these things. I'm like, why is everyone like freaking out? I don't know. I guess because we're so fixated on the news all the time. Like I find like small little niche stories that I think are so crazy that I try to make happen all the time and I never do. But something about that Chinese spy balloon. But some background here is that, you know, there was a big area of discussion about whether Joe Biden acted swiftly enough to down the inflated intelligence device. Others, like Elise said, have been identified in areas of the country and in South America. But according to Fox News and other Republicans, Biden's delay in removing the balloon was a national security disaster. What Biden and his military did apparently was monitor the balloon until it was over water, so that debris could not hurt anyone. There's debris everywhere. It spread like a lot of debris. And even if it's a balloon, like it's gravity is murderous. Anything falling from the sky is gonna really hurt people.
Yeah. And it wasn't just like just an inflated balloon. There's stuff in the balloon, which I, that was kind of my initial thing is I was like, why are we having such a hard time defeating a balloon? Why don't we shoot down the balloon? But then as I learned more about the balloon, it's actually full of a bunch of electrical equipment and stuff. So like it actually could hurt people if it fell down from the sky.
Yeah. And I think there was something else about like the way that they did it, made sure that they could try to recover what intelligence was gathered. But, you know, I think more satisfying than that was the fact that Biden's Defense Department put out a statement that balloons were detected during the Trump administration as well. They actually didn't even say Trump administration. They said the prior administration. And so that sort of like had Republicans having to take back their bizarre critiques. Although I did think that like we would have gotten some crazy Trump tweets about a Chinese spy balloon.
I just also, you know, people say give China a lot of credit for like technological advances and innovations, but let's have a big balloon spy. Like that sounds like a dumb Trump idea of like, let's just drink bleach. What if there was a big balloon and we filled it with cameras and floated it? Like,
exactly.
Somebody's a fucking idiot. Also, the fact that people are monitoring balloons, I also want to know, in the way that curiosity has sparked of like when they put a GoPro on a squirrel and then follow it around all day, I do want to know what the balloon like. I'd watch that TikTok of a balloon floating over because like balloons can fly very far.
A vlog, a daily routine, absolutely. I think that's also what was like humorous and dissonant about it is that we're talking about two countries that have kind of always simmering tensions, and then you know. They're potentially boiling over because of a balloon. And like we said, Blinken canceled his trip, I believe, or it's just sort of on pause. Because I guess normally when you have a trip planned, you kind of chill out on the espionage. It's just sort of like a politeness thing. But obviously China apparently did not do that. And as for China officials, they say the balloon was researching the weather. It was just looking at the weather. And an official said, what I want to emphasize regarding this unexpected accident is that both sides, especially the U.S., should remain calm.
I do think it's funny that they're taking this like track with it of being like, oh, how did our balloon get over there? Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, so y'all think we're stupid. Like, like they're like, oh, sorry. That was our weather balloon. Oh, my God. Crazy.
It's really giving shitty guy who did something shitty and is now telling you, like, why are you even reacting like that? It's, like, not a big deal. Can you just calm down? Can you calm down?
I was just texting her about the weather.
Yeah,
calm down.
It was a weather. Well,
exactly. Like, we both need to be calm, especially you.
Yeah. Like, okay, can we take the intensity down a few notches and not take my balloon down any notches?
Yeah, it's I think Blinken should have to go because there is nothing like a Real Housewives trip when they're all already mad at each other. When things are chill and people have been backing off, you're not getting good content. At all. But the trip is canceled for now. And this trip also comes ahead of Joe Biden's second State of the Union address. Before we talk about that, are there any closing thoughts about the balloon? I want to make sure we really juice this balloon. Really deflate it.
Stop. Deflate. What no I will say that. Is you've compared this to the Suez Canal, but the Suez Canal The you know, it's an interesting comparison because the Suez Canal lasted for so many days that it really upped the tension. This, I feel like, was inflated, popped, and like it's now over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it burned fast and bright. It burned fast and bright. It was a weekend fling.
Mm-hmm. My final thoughts on the balloon, just for a historical record, when like the children of the future are looking back and learning about the balloon as the start of World War III or whatever, that I do acknowledge the balloon as serious while also being a very funny balloon.
Absolutely. That was wise, Elise.
Just
that was
for
wise.
The record, for the children of the future.
Tucker Carlson's going to quote us all just fucking around and joking about the balloon with the worst puns I've ever delivered on this podcast in 820 episodes.
If SUP is the only historical record of the planet, there would be like, wow, people in 2023 really want to fuck Tony the Tiger.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So now we're going to talk about the State of the Union Address. We won't belabor this too much. I mean, it's tomorrow night, so I guess this episode will at least last until then. So this is a big one for Biden. He's making his way through his first term, and he's reportedly going to begin angling for his 2024 run in the months following the State of the Union. I don't know if we're talking like an announcement or just like more activity that looks like campaigning. By this time in earlier cycles, many Democrats had already announced. Like, that's crazy to think that normally we're farther along in the cycle. Like, I think Joe still has, right, another State of the Union between now and the general election. But I think a lot of people are watching tonight's speech from that perspective. Something interesting we talked about a lot last year, I know I really belabored it, was that Biden did not say the word abortion in the State of the Union. And a few months later, the Supreme Court ended women's constitutional right to an abortion. I'm not saying those two things are linked. I might be wrong, but I'm not sure if an American president has ever said the word in a State of the Union. If they
not
have,
in a positive way.
Exactly. If they have, it was not in our way. It was not in a supportive way. Usually they use some euphemisms. So I'm curious to see what he does there. He also makes his speech as Republicans have taken the House of Representatives, even though they've been pretty inept at it. Biden also just had a great jobs report signaling that the economy is improving. Unemployment is the lowest it's been in nearly half a century. The kind of everyday lifestyle impacts of the pandemic are in the past for many people. I know TikTok loves to serve me threads about how my government is lying to me and we're all going to have, you know, terrible long COVID in a couple of years. But most people view Biden as having handled that quite well, but still his approval ratings are in the low 40s. Again, I don't know if that's tremendously uncommon at this point in a presidency. People are pretty concerned about high prices still, and they're worried about layoffs, even though, you know, some of those jobs are fine. It's definitely a very unique time in history and in the, you know, American political climate for this kind of speech. So I kind of want to look at this from two angles. Like, what are you going to be looking for versus like, what do you think the average viewer is looking to hear from Joe Biden to say the next day, I liked that. I want him to stay.
I feel like he's got to talk about eggs. You gotta talk about the price of eggs. Honestly.
An omelet-centered State of the Union, themed like, over different types of egg preparations.
You know, centrists love to talk about kitchen table issues. And, things about the economy and unemployment numbers and all that, like, those are important. But, again, the impact of, like, groceries cost so much now. And it's important for people to feel like, you know, heard or understood or something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That is like you have a president or somebody in leadership who understands, and it's not his fault. It's not all this stuff, but like, again, that someone's listening. I think
it doesn't matter. Yeah. Politically, he needs to address that, whether it's like rational or not.
Exactly. That's what I think is.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Joe Biden, his whole thing is really like, no one gets, his thing isn't making people feel extremely excited. It's making people feel like things are normal and in good hands and will continue to be as such. So I think that his real job is to highlight what he's already done, the comparisons between now and when he took office, that entire feeling that, oh, like we have someone responsible and normal heading up the government. And then also highlighting that the chaos that we still see is related to his opponents, to the Republicans, to what his potential challenger in 2024 would want to do. So I think that's really just the biggest part of what he has to do, is kind of continue to make everyone feel like he's a normal man doing normal things. And if you let him stay, things will remain kind of calm.
He's not grooming your kids, you know, like the people that I think that if he focuses on that, like he does not need to touch the culture wars. I think that's the worst thing he could do. What do you think, Millie?
Well, there is like, he doesn't have to touch the culture wars, but I don't know if
he's going to. The one-sided culture wars.
I don't know if he's going to do this. There, like, it's like, how do you acknowledge, like, you have to acknowledge what Ron DeSantis is doing with banning books and, you know, editing African-American, you know, like, but it's like, yeah, it's like he's a rational, normal person. So it's like, if he avoids it completely, that'll feel a little tone deaf. And then also, like, Republicans took Ilhan Omar off committee. You know what I mean? So it's like, you don't want him to engage in like M&Ms or like that kind of shit. But it's like, these are things that are actually like, public education is suffering. It's there's some stuff that it's like, he should say something about some of these things, but he shouldn't. It's hard though. That, I mean, that's like kind of the Democrats' debacle. Is like, how do you acknowledge the batshit shit that Republicans are doing without like
baiting them
kneeling more. and baiting and giving it more.
And elevating it to the level of the State of the Union, where it's like, you know, because if an issue gets mentioned at the State of the Union, that is like a huge elevation of that issue.
Which is why I want him to say abortion.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, Millie's right in that, like, some of the stuff that's going on in Florida that Ron DeSantis is doing does need to be addressed. The attacks across many states on trans kids and stuff do need to be addressed. So that'll be kind of a delicate, that's the balance that he's going to need to strike, of being like, you know, Democrats are not for any of these things while also not making it about these culture war issues. Yeah. Because Biden's strongest like backing is just his track record of actually getting some really good legislation passed that do things that need to be done. Like the infrastructure bill, yeah, it's not shiny. It's not like something that everybody's thinking about all the time. It's not like an Obamacare like huge thing at the forefront of people's minds. But at the end of the day, it's part of his track record of just like getting the actual functions of our government done. Mm-hmm. So that's really his strength. But he also can't ignore that Republicans are very clearly going to run on these culture war social issues, like trans kids, like CRT and what we teach in schools and all of that stuff. So it is like a delicate balance for him and his speechwriters to strike.
Yeah. For him, I feel like he plays the role as like the grandpa who usually gets your pronouns right. And I think that his office does a really good job of just sort of like letting his surrogates kind of not be in the culture wars, but for instance, like the Respect for Marriage signing, like act like that, like they invited like so many people that had huge followings and really made a moment out of that without Joe Biden necessarily needing to be like, I mean, he passed it obviously, but he didn't need to talk about the trans activism implicit of it. He could just invite Dylan Mulvaney, and I wouldn't be surprised if Dylan Mulvaney is at the State of the Union tomorrow, and they'll have like certain guests where they're just sort of like the people that need to know that he is with them are gonna find out. And people, when he seems to withhold that, Joe Biden, I think those communities are really good about, you know, demanding it back from him. He does it in a unique way where he's clever about it, where he's trying not to bait them, but trying to show to the supporters that he's with them and he's committed.
Yeah. And Tyree Nichols's mother is going to be there. So I don't think that they would have her there if that wasn't going to be something that was getting addressed in some form in the State of the Union. So it'll be interesting to see what he says about that. We should revive the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Like what does he call for in that moment? Yeah. Because I don't see a world where she's there and they don't say anything about police violence or any of those issues surrounding the Tyree Nichols death situation.
It's so tough. Again, like, as you know, it's like, I'm just reiterating what you said, Elisa, like, he has to show that government works and that he's doing it. Everything's fine. But a lot of shit is not fine. Right. Like, so it's like, you know, I was just reading about how Ron DeSantis stripped the Orlando Philharmonic from their liquor license because they had a drag Christmas show. You know, stuff like that where it's like, I don't envy George Biden.
I know. Well, do you guys want to know who's giving the Republican response this year?
Oh, who?
Oh, it's a good one. It is the governor of Arkansas herself, Ms. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, man. And her knee-high boots.
And this is the thing, because you know they're going to have like five different versions based on what Biden does bring up and how they're going to react to it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how she tries to like breathlessly accuse him of grooming when it like did not come up at all.
I don't – honestly, it's always funny to see who they pick to do that, because it is kind of like a – like
she
a
was
death
press secretary. She should nail it, but like,
yeah, but it is kind of like a death slot. Like, no one ever comes out of giving that rebuttal. Even, and I'll say it, like, even when it's the other way around, the rebuttal, you always look small and weird compared to literally the president standing in Congress in front of all of the Congress people, and then it cuts to you on Zoom, like, this is what I think.
You really look like just like, and maybe we should just kill Caesar. And it's like,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a good position. A lot of Republicans I can think of have had their careers totally fucked by it. I mean, Marco Rubio drinking the water is iconic. Yeah. There was that other guy who did it. The South Asian guy who's like, he's literally like not even in political.
The Louisiana?
Yes. Him.
That guy's so fucking crazy.
He did it and he was like considered a rising star, totally tanked him.
Oh,
like,
no.
I can't even remember who the hell he is. So
I just remember that his portrait where he looked like Paul Ryan, but he's South Asian. But you know what? I'm going to rebut that with you guys and say that if there's anyone in this world who knows what a bad position, who's used to being in an impossible position, doing a bad job, that's Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Because let me tell you. Miss Press Secretary, she will flip, lie, reverse, do everything, but tell the truth.
Or say Latinx.
Or say Latinx. Say, Latina.
She's going to yes and her little heart out and just deliver the craziest far-right Mad Libs response ever.
No, you're right, Millie. She has the skill set.
They actually, this was probably a smart choice, simply because she does like have like, she was not the worst Trump press secretary, famously. I don't think they're ever going to have Sean Spicer do the rebuttal.
Well,
that would be amazing, though.
She is serving up a unlimited buffet of word salad. yeah. is what she does. And that's perfect for Republicans. Because mm-hmm. again, they're saying, they just say shit, bring up the three culture wars, don't have any policies, don't make any promises, just bring up how everyone else is bad. And just, again, the taglines. Okay, we're yeah. talking about what Biden's going to say and do. But I bet you if we had some kind of drinking game or some kind of thing where we say what she's going to say,
yeah.
we'll be on point True. More. Because she's going to bring CRT.
I was, oh my gosh, yeah. I was actually thinking, because sometimes we do a drinking game. And honestly, with State of the Union, it was only fun with Trump because he was so crazy. And the Republicans with Biden, like, I don't know what he's going to say over and over again. And it's not that entertaining. But trying to do one around the response would be quite funny. It's definitely yeah. going to be sort of like a Mad Libs that they're going to have ready, and which Marjorie Taylor Greene did today in reaction to our next topic.
I think for sure, because it's interesting also to try to see like the euphemisms they use for what they're doing. So yeah. definitely protecting women in sports will come up, which is the euphemism that they use for targeting trans kids in schools. That yeah. is like the little fake thing. Right to Life, I feel like, is definitely going to come up because mm-hmm. the RNC just said they want to double down on that despite yeah. all evidence showing that they should not fucking do that. So
go off.
I feel like that comes up.
Parents' rights. Oh, we're so good.
Yeah. They usually say like protect children, but in the context of like fetuses. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, they're like, we don't want these schools to indoctrinate our kids. Can you believe that I brought up something with my kid and they had a dissenting opinion? That's the school's fault. It's like, so you want to indoctrinate your own kids
exactly.
with your own crazy nonsense. Okay, yeah. cool.
And inflation. Yeah. They're definitely going to hit that hard, even though like, the numbers eggs. Are getting better, eggs, all of that stuff, which honestly, that's pretty normal for the opposing party to bring up. I'll give them that one. If they want to talk about the economy and their rebuttal, yeah. okay. That's actually normal.
So. I can't get enough of the egg memes. I saw a TikTok that was like when they ask for proof of income and somebody just shows their fridge and that they have a lot of eggs.
Yeah.
All right. It should be a slightly entertaining evening. My plan is that I'm going to be in DC for it, not in the Capitol. We'll see. These things can change very last minute. So the plan is for me to be there and be doing some content in a particular location, and it should be fun. Ooh, hopefully it stays on the books.
Sup, you heard it here first.
Amanda
Duberman storming the Capitol. she may or may not be invited. She's going there. She's sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk and taking her Nancy Pelosi's laptop where they show PowerPoints in.
You're not wrong, because actually if I end up going there, I do want to take some content just of like the statues in the Capitol for Women's History Month. So I'll reach out to some people, but if you're listening and want to put me on the list for tomorrow, please DM me. Now let's do some reactions to last night's Grammy Awards. So some Cliff's Notes here. Beyonce made history by becoming the winningest Grammy winner of all time, but was stuck in traffic in LA, so she didn't even make it to accept that award. She lost Album of the Year to Harry Styles, however, which seems wrong. And that speech seemed like it was a weird speech, and everyone thought she was going to win. That didn't seem like a high moment. Viola Davis achieved an EGOT by winning the award for Best Audiobook, Narration, and Storytelling Recording. She read her memoir, Finding Me. So, I mean, I can't believe Viola Davis didn't have an EGOT. That seems
yeah, well, and it's she got also one now.
Written in the
it's
stars.
It's also kind of rare for someone to EGOT just fully get all the awards for their performances, because some people get them for they yeah. get one oh. because they produced on wow. something. So it's actually like she's like a different tier of EGOT. She's an EGOT who got them all because of performances that she specifically gave, which is mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go before I give you my Beyonce reaction.
Please. No, we're sticking with Beyonce now.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I have a lot of feelings about it because this is the fourth time that people thought she was going to win and she didn't. She's previously lost to Beck, Adele, and Taylor Swift, and now Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. Again, people who, you know, have great careers and are great musicians. But if we're talking about the cultural, like, points or, like, cultural impact that her albums had versus
right.
Beck's or even Taylor Swift, like, You know, so it's like, it's not surprising. It's it just really goes to show, like, what are these award shows do? Who do they celebrate? This is an award show who fucking gave Macklemore a Best Rap Album of the Year over Kendrick Lamar. Like, this is a racist, like, I'm not even trying to be like whatever, like, this is just a clearly racist award show. You know, again, Jack Harlow, even for example, with the rap category, Jack Harlow had a kind of, it was critically accepted that his album was bad. It got two stars on Pitchfork, or like a 29% or something. Like, it's bad, but he still got nominated for Rap Album of the Year. And it's just like, these people don't, you know, they don't care about impact. Another person that people thought was gonna win Album of the Year was Bad Bunny for Un Verano Sin Ti.
Yeah.
And that album specifically, it again won number one in on many, many like best of 2022 album list. He was like the biggest streamer in the world. So, you know, I mean, Harry Styles sells out a lot, but it's just really interesting to see that what the Grammys awards and what they don't, you know? So yeah, that's,
well, it's interesting because it's like, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, my initial response would be, how do we explain that Beyonce has more Grammys than anyone else, but is still being deprived this award? But I think listening to you describe it is like, exactly, what is it about? I mean, the Grammy categories are weird. Like, I'm sure if you read the fine print, it's really based in just really, you know, kind of, you know, old industry ways that music was made and put together and produced. So maybe there's something technically about it. But yeah, you're right. It seems strange that she's been honored in all of those other ways. And Album of the Year has eluded her, especially because we're talking about Beyonce, who the only way we communicate with her is her album. Like, she made albums a thing again.
Yeah.
Like,
and again, you know, why I said I have complicated feelings is because I don't feel like anyone's entitled to, or like she's automatically entitled to, just because she's Beyonce, and she has won a lot. So that's also something that gets me. A lot of people are criticizing, saying that, you know, Harry Styles, like, oh, this is someone who's queer baiting, but Beyonce actually has this homage to queerness. I challenge that because she just did a show in Dubai. So what is it really about? Yeah. And also, like, I have my own feelings about what marginalized identity she uses to, like, I will say though, this album, you know, I can see why people say it's a really important queer album because of the people who wrote the songs and produced it. She did employ many, many, many queer people to help her with this album. And it is like an homage to queer culture. I'll give that. But, you know, if you're making that argument with Harry Styles about queer baiting, it's difficult to have that understanding that Beyonce, again, just did a show in Dubai.
Well, a bizarre kind of add-on to this is that, like, everyone was surprised that Harry won, including him, but he said something kind of bizarre in his speech. He said, this doesn't happen to people like me very often. This is so, so nice. I don't think anyone knows what he meant by that, because white cis men mainly win this award. I don't know if he meant because he's British, or he's, you know, he's dresses in an effeminate what is the me? Like, what type of identity was he embracing there that he felt doesn't get recognized? What do you think?
I think it doesn't really happen to people like me, people who've broken up a family and caused a divorce and is a side hoe to the director. That's what I think in terms
first of home record to ever.
First home record to ever
bring home a Grammy.
Because Adele, famously, her album was about divorce. So I think that Harry Styles brings an important representation to the flip side of the people that caused the divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it really, that is the comment that, like, I like Harry Styles just fine. I think he's, you know, a little cutie, but he's not really
an
doing
oppressed
anything.
Minority.
But he's also not doing anything that, like, David Bowie and Mick Jagger and other, like, male rock stars. I mean, like, Prince. Like, a lot of male rock stars have played with gender quote unquote straight cis male rock stars have played with gender in the way that he plays with gender. That's not to say that it's not like cool that he does that, but yeah, that comment was very strange to me, especially on a night when like actually a trans woman won an award. Right. And like, I'm just like, what do you mean, Harry?
I really, maybe he'll tell us what he meant. Like he clarified he didn't spit on his co-star.
But. I think, but also.
An Aquarius? I don't know.
I know I was joking about him being the first held record to ever win a Grammy. But what I really think is when he said people like me, I really think he meant bad actors. And there's not many bad, terrible actors who can decide if they're going to be British or American film.
I'm going to pose this question on our Instagram stories, and maybe our audience can speculate as to what particular identity, because I'm sure it meant something to him in that moment, but I'd be curious to know. So some final thoughts. Obviously, another kind of historic moment. Well, Jill Biden was there. She presented Song of the Year to Bonnie Raitt, which was also one that nobody thought she was going to win. Even Lizzo was like, what? I saw somebody be like, does Jill Biden know she can't choose? But no, Bonnie Raitt actually won. Like Millie said, Bad Bunny opened the show with what sounds like the most electrifying performance of the evening. And just as we say a lot and you say a lot, Millie, it's just radical what he's done with not making music in English in this country. And it was definitely a standout. Quavo performed a heartbreaking tribute to Take Off. And Kim Petras became the first transgender winner of Best Pop Duo Group Performance for the song Unholy with Sam Smith. So they also performed that song. And there were a lot of reactions. Honestly, it was just like they look like they're dressed up for Halloween and they're like dancing dirty. It was just, you know, a lot of red, a lot of fire, a lot of devil motifs, but nothing that felt like super darkly satanic. But here's how Marjorie Taylor Greene described it. Just satanic light. Marjorie Taylor Greene has played Mad Libs this morning, and she said the Grammys featured Sam Smith's demonic performance and was sponsored by Pfizer. And the Satanic Church now has an abortion clinic in New Mexico that requires its patients to perform a satanic ritual before services. American Christians need to get to work. Get to work.
I'm sorry, but if banning abortions and everything that American Christians have done is not getting to work, I'm terrified of what the fuck they're going to do when they're actually getting to work. As someone who Kim Petras has said she owes everything to gays in Bushwick. As someone who's seen her live in Bushwick, like it's great that she won the Grammy. It's also like just something about her artistically, which I think runs very true and whatever, is that she literally loves Halloween. It's so funny that you said Halloween.
Interesting.
She made, instead of making a Christmas album, she made a Halloween album that's so fucking good and it's spooky. And
that's the vibe I got from the performance. I want to fuck a demon.
No, but literally at her concert that I went to, she was like, when I wanted to release an album, like a Halloween album, my label was like, Kim, no one's going to listen to this. And she was like, no, you don't get it. Halloween is like Christmas for the gays. And it's so funny that it's showing that. And I don't know. I think the demonic whatever thing is, it's so funny because people said the same thing about Lil Nas X with actually did want to fuck a demon. When he gave Satan a lap dance. And I think it's playing with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this is very, like, very radical for SUP or something. But, like, Satanism, too, like, if you actually read the philosophies of Satanism, it's really not that radical. It's very, like, self-empowering of, like, you have to make your own choices and your own decisions at the core of Satanism. But anyway, this is all spooky. I don't know.
I know exactly what you're saying.
But it's so funny because, like, the I don't know. It's like sponsored by Pfizer. It's like Pfizer wishes they could have a fucking 3-minute ad on the Grammys. Uh-huh. And also, why not Moderna? And also, like, this is triggering the people that it's triggering on purpose. And it's also speaking to the people that they want to speak to on purpose. So I just think it's
exactly really right. Precisely. Yeah.
The song is called Unholy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
We're just- come on. Come on. Wake up. Yeah. Those were all our topics for today. That's our show. We'll be back Thursday. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Lily Tavares.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com. Betches.